O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor is there any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you. All my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity, I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong. And those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those who also render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. May God indeed bless to us the reading and hearing of His own holy and infallible Word. Amen. David said in Psalm 38, verse 17, "For I am ready to fall." For I am ready to fall. Sometimes our lives are close to the point of being overwhelmed. And we could say, just like David, "For I am ready to fall." We learn from this psalm, as we look at David's experience, the pattern as to how one is to live when one is in a position of being overwhelmed in life. There are times when you and I are in such a position that life itself doesn't work. Then when life doesn't work, then what does? And David shows us in his model of an experience of one who was at the point where he was, as it were, standing over a precipice about to fall, and yet he still turned to God to be delivered. We want to consider this morning, firstly, that what David did was to recognize his position. And that is what you and I must do if we are to face those times when we are about to be overwhelmed. By recognize your position, I mean that sometimes you and I are close to being overwhelmed, and we may be able to say with David, "For I am ready to fall." That was David's experience. All you have to do is look in verses 3 through 5. He said, "There is no soundness in my flesh, there is no health in my bones, that they are like a heavy burden upon me, that my wounds are foul and festering." When he says in verse 17, "I am ready to fall," what he means is, "I am about to die. So great and terrible is this experience that I'm going through." He says in verse 16, "My foot is ready to slip." We can identify with David in his illness. We can identify with David in the emotional trauma that he was experiencing at this time. Have you ever been to the point where you felt like you were slipping? Whether morally, whether in your personal life, whether in your business, or whether you were at the point in an illness where you felt you were slipping. I can recall a not too pleasant experience when we lived in Scotland for a while, studying in Edinburgh, when I became very, very ill. And that would have been okay if I had had somebody to take care of me. But then Emily, my wife, got ill. And so there we were, lying in bed on the second floor of this home where we were renting, and the only person who was old enough to do anything was 6-year-old Elizabeth, and she was running soup up and down the steps, if you can imagine. At that point, there was a time, and my experience was, "Oh, I'm going to die outside of Dixie." And I couldn't, you know, to die, to live and die in Dixie, I thought we were dying there. And sometimes I wished that I had. We were so sick at that time. We were beginning to slip, and we were at the point where we could say with David, "I am ready to fall." And maybe another occasion in your own life, but I know that you know what I mean. I know that you can think of those times when you felt that it was almost over in your life. The Psalms are full of this kind of experience. Look at Psalm 42, a couple of pages over, in verse 7. Where the psalmist says, "Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls." Then listen to what he says. "All your waves and billows have gone over me." It is as if the psalmist were standing on the seashore and huge 10-foot waves were knocking him down every time he stood up. And they were sent from God. That is the experience of the Psalms. But be sure that what the Bible means to say and what you and I are to draw from Psalm 38 is that you will not always be on top of life and in your experience. That was David's experience. He was not always on top. In fact, Paul says, "Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Because life will be interlaced with the fallings, with the point where you will be well nigh overwhelmed in your experience. I said, recognize your position, that sometimes you're close to being overwhelmed, but also recognize your position in that troubles are controlled by God, and that is what David recognized as well. Look at verses 1 and 2. He believed that his troubles were from God. In verse 2, he said, "Your arrows and your hand presses me down." One commentator said that the arrows here are like the blows which God gives to the believer. Now, it is true that David had sinned against God, and it was because of his sin that God had brought this illness upon him. Look in Psalm 42 again in verse 11. The psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I shall yet praise Him." Then go back up to verse 7. There, God is the strength of his life. And then in verse 7, he says again, "Your waves and your billows have overcome me." So that it with the psalmist's perspective and David's perspective upon what was happening to him was that it was occasioned by God. I've heard people say that I don't believe that God either allows or brings about illness. But I want to tell you that that is not what the Bible teaches. Now, if you believe that, you're moving yourself out of the possible healing and the possible comfort that the Word of God can give. Now, that does not mean, I say again, that does not mean that illness or being overwhelmed is a direct result of some sin in your life. It is not necessarily a result of sin, but believe you me, and what the point that I am making here is that God is in control of all of your experiences and all of your life and all of the times when you're almost overwhelmed or when the times it seems that you're on the mountaintop. But recognize this with the psalmist, as the psalmist said, "Thy billows, the waves of God have come against me and against me and against me, and I am well now over, nigh overwhelmed." It is to God that David turns, and that leads us to our second main thought. I said the first thought that we want to grasp and to ask what works when life doesn't, the first thing is to recognize your position. That position is that you are well nigh or close to being overwhelmed, but secondly, that it is God who does control what's happening. But the second main point is this: to release your problems to God by telling Him about them. That is what David did. That is the whole pattern of the psalm. If you look at this psalm, this is the way that the structure of it shapes up. In verse 1, he turns to God. In verses 2, 3, 8 through 8, he complains. And then he returns in verse 9 to appeal to God in prayer. And then in verses 10 through 14, he again is releasing his problems by telling God what his problem is. Verse 15, he turns to God again. In verses 16 through 20, he again rehearses his problem. So we have this pattern: petition, problem, petition, problem, petition, problem. Where David releases his problem to God, and then he offers a petition to God. His friends forsook him. In verse 11, "My loved ones and my friends stand aloof." And then not only so, but his enemies saw his distress as an opportunity to get at him. And then his psychological distress in verses 6 and 8, when he says in verse 8, "I groan because of the turmoil of my heart." Pity that man when God is in pursuit of his conscience, because there is no peace for that person until he turns to God. I said, release your problems. That is what David did. That is what our Lord did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember what he prayed? He said, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me. Now, Jesus, by his critics, has been degraded and criticized for what they call rebellion against God. That he was saying that he did not want to do something that God wanted him to do. And yet we might well recognize with G. Campbell Morgan that never at any place in our Lord's lifetime was his unity and his oneness with God demonstrated in a greater and deeper way than right here at the Garden of Gethsemane. For when he was able to cry out his complaint to God, it is only to those who are willing to accept us and approve us and still put their arms around us and say it's okay. It is only to those that we can respond with honesty. I hear some Christians talk as if their Christian lives were just one continuous riding of the wave of victory. Happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time. But beloved, that is not your experience, is it? Because it is not the biblical experience either. And David shows us the way to deal with it. And the way to deal with it is that we release that problem to God in petition and in prayer, as our Lord Himself demonstrated. When one is in perfect union with God, he can tell God anything. He can tell God his heart. He can tell God his hurt and his complaint. And he knows that he has one who is a Father. That is what you and I must do. As Jesus himself said, that we are to come to him, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. I said to recognize your position. Only a fool would not recognize if he is standing at the foot of a precipice. As part of my family and I did yesterday and Friday up at DeSoto State Park, as we walked along the rhododendron trails and the azalea trails just to see what was going on at the top of Little River Canyon, there was a point where one could stop and look almost straight down at the precipice. And happily, there was something that one could hold on to as one peered over. Just as there is something that you may hold on to when you're standing at the precipice of life, and you're at the point where you're about to be overwhelmed, there is something to grasp, and it is God. And that brings us to the third point. Recollect your provision. Remember your provision. You remember what I told you the title of the psalm was? If you have a Bible open, it may be translated at the beginning of your Bible. It says, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. The title of the psalm that David placed above this psalm is a memorial. It is a memorial to remind him of where his help is, that he is to turn to God and receive that strength and that assistance. He is to hold on when he's standing over the precipice. Consider that God was still his God of hope. In verse 15, He says, "For in you, O Lord, I hope you will hear, O Lord my God." How did he know that God would hear? He knew that God would hear because he had confessed his sin to God. Look at Proverbs 28:13. Proverbs 28:13 says this, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will find compassion." When David covered his sin, he did not prosper. But when he confessed his sin, and he was willing to forsake his sin, he found compassion in the sight of God. That is the key, and that is the invitation that you and I have. First and foremost, when we are at the point of any trouble, whether it is illness, whether it is some other occasion, as in David's case, a moral problem, where he confessed his sin and he said, "Oh God, forgive me, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." And then he found a good conscience. And then he found peace and forgiveness with God. And then he found prosperity once again. And then note finally, in recollecting or remembering your provision, remember that it is God. Remember, and this is important, that you may not be delivered from or out of your circumstance, but you may be delivered in your circumstance. Look at David's confidence in verse 15. For he says, "For in you, O Lord, I hope you will hear, O Lord my God." Consider Christ's injunction when he said, "Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost," when he had fed the 5,000. It is as if David is saying to us that when there are times when you are about to be overwhelmed, then that is the point where you must gather up what is left. Pick up the remains, the fragments, the crumbs, that you may still gather and that you may still find strength in order to endure and to pass through a time of trial or trouble in your life. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You and I may find the kind of relief and the help that David found through prayer. Or he said in verse 9, "Lord, all my desire is before you." He had prayed to God and he had left everything up to God. Do not limit God by saying, "God, this is what I want you to do. I want you to heal me in this way and to deliver me in this way." But be willing to say, "Oh Lord, I pray for your deliverance. And I pray for that deliverance in God's way." He may not heal you. He may not send you that money. He may not do what you expect. But if you look for His deliverance in His way, then you will see it. What to do when you and I are overwhelmed? When we are ready to say, "I am ready to fall." Recognize your position, release your problems to God, and remember your provision, God, and turning to Him in prayer and confession. Let us pray.